All right. So everybody's got a sheet. Title of this series, this four-week series, is going to be Discipleship, A Practical Way to Make Disciples. And like I said, the first 2 weeks is going to focus on discipleship. Then we're going to be looking at more of the heartbeat of ministry. So I'll be teaching this week and the third week. Tim will be covering next week and the fourth week. So it'll be good to get a couple different perspectives on this and just how God's speaking to our hearts a little differently too. So just to give you a little bit a background of me and with discipleship. So discipleship is really the cornerstone, the foundation of why I'm even here today. And that goes back all the way to, I think it was my junior year, no, sophomore year in high school. When I was kind of in a weird spot going to a church, understanding who God was, understanding what heaven and hell were, didn't want to go to hell, thought I was saved, prayed the prayer, and that was it. And then I remember God intersecting my life in high school with Pastor Jay. Wasn't a pastor at the time, and I knew of him. He was my basketball coach, and he was talking about, you know, I know there's people out there that want to understand the Bible more, and the Bible was very intimidating to me. I didn't really understand any of the depth. I could tell you about Noah, Jonah, and Jesus a little bit, and that was probably about it. I just knew the basics, didn't want to go to hell, wanted to be saved. So as he was going on, and I'm like, man, yeah, that sounds good. And he's explaining, you know, practically, how do you understand what the Bible tells you to do? How do you know what God wants out of your life? And I'm like, I have no idea. And he's going and going, and I'm like hooked onto this. And then he gets to the end and he's like, well, we do something at our church, mind you, I wasn't going to FBCJ at this time, called discipleship. And I'm like, bam, I'm hooked. I need that. And he said, you sit down with somebody one-on-one and they literally just take you through a system of lessons, and they just pour their life out and practically show you, you know, what the Bible says on how to live a life pleasing to God. And it really clicked in my mind. I'm like, of course. When Jesus came down, he didn't stand in front of millions telling them how to get to heaven. He stood and intimately spent time with 12 telling them how to teach others and how to teach others. And God's always been in the reproduction business, not just telling, getting them saved, and that's it. It's about investing in others. It's about understanding the depth of his word. And after that, I remember I was still a little nervous. I sent Brandy up, because I knew she came to this church. We went to school together. And I'm like, hey, can you go ask Jay, you know, if I can start this discipleship? And looking back, you know, in the moment, I was like, well, yeah, I'm glad. Of course he wants to sit down with somebody and invest the Bible in them. But I look at it now, being in the position, I'm like, man, that's a lot of work. Discipleship is work. It takes time. It takes mental energy. Takes time. And looking back, I'm like, I'm very appreciative of, I mean, he immediately, there was no hesitation in his voice. He's like, yeah, absolutely, I'll meet with him. And I was an exhausting disciple for 2.5 years, but it completely transformed my life. So that's a little bit, again, background of discipleship on me and just really how it impacted my life really for the rest of eternity. And I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for discipleship. So again, it's the pattern that God set all the way back in the Gospels. We're going to look at that a little bit tonight. So week one, personal preparation. And I really want you guys to think about the title of that, the personal preparation. So preparing yourself, making sure your heart is aligned with God's heart. And God's heart, Christ's heart, is really focused on discipleship. 1 Corinthians 11:1, it's on your sheet, says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And who wrote that? Yeah, Paul. Okay. Paul would probably be one of the best evangelists, and I would say one of the best disciplers in the Bible, second to Jesus Christ. And who was Paul's number one disciple? Timothy. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to see the heart of a discipler, but then also the result of a steadfast, strong disciple. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. So this is the last book that the Apostle Paul writes. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And I read that, and it's honestly, it's convicting. Because, and it's awkward because I have my disciple Isaac sitting in here. I struggle with that sometimes. That is not, you know, we're human. That is not my heart all the time towards my disciples. It is not my yearning all the time. It should be. I mean, you read some of these words that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. That's a discipler who wanted to see his disciple turn the world upside down. That is a discipler who believed that his disciple could do those things through Jesus Christ. That is a discipler who woke up in the morning burdened for his disciple, wondering, well, how's his walk going to be? Is Satan going to try and attack him? Well, I better pray that God protects him. I better pray that God keeps him steadfast on the path. There's some days that I go by sometimes and I don't think about my disciples, and I read something like this and I'm like, what a shame. But then on the flip side, you see in the end of verse 5, and I am persuaded that in thee also, that faith that he's talking about, that unfeigned faith. Timothy was a disciple that was worthy of Paul's time, that was worthy of these accolades. He had his hand on the plow and he wasn't looking back. So the challenge to you guys, and that from that perspective, is are you a disciple with unfeigned faith? Are you a disciple that a discipler could write these six verses about? That a discipler could say, I have prayed for you night and day, and I am persuaded and I am excited with joy knowing what you're doing for Jesus Christ, knowing what you're doing for the work. Or are you a disciple that's draining, that's constantly having to be pulled back onto the path? The Bible's very clear what we have to do. When we go through discipleship, when we understand what God wants in our lives, it's not the what to do that's difficult. It's the desire to do it. And that's where this week, personal preparation, preparing your heart, being honest with yourself and saying, do I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And ultimately, do I want to be a minister of Jesus Christ, which is where we're going with this. John 17:4, I like it. We're not going to go there. You guys can write that down. I think it's on your sheet. Famous verse. It's when Jesus says, he's talking to God, and he says, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And think about it. Was Christ dead at that moment? We hear that all the time. What was his work? It was discipleship. It was investing his life in other people. And it brought God glory. That's what glorified his name, because those 12 men completely changed. We would not be here today if it wasn't for those 12 men. Discipleship works. Discipleship matters. And it all starts within our heart. All right, so point number one, remember the mission, count the cost, and stay in remembrance. Three keys to the personal preparation of this discipleship. So flip over to Matthew chapter 28. Verses tonight are all very familiar. Just try and view them from the viewpoint of discipleship. Matthew 28. Can I get a reader for 18 through 20? Timmy.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Think about it. Christ's, you know, final words, obviously, prior to Acts chapter 1, before he actually descended up. This is what it's all about. This is the mission that Jesus Christ came down to do. And if you break down verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Give them the gospel. Tell them what the Bible says. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptizing them after salvation. And then and then the third thing, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Discipleship. It's very simple, and God lays it out multiple ways inside this book. That's the most effective process to affecting this world, to changing this world. Give them the gospel. Show them what the Bible says, and then sit down with them and invest your life into them. I'm forever indebted to discipleship. I'm forever indebted to Jay. I'm forever indebted to Christ. And it motivates me to want to sit down and do these things with others because I know what it did in my life. And some of you might be sitting out there not fully believing in the power of discipleship. Look at what these men were able to accomplish from this simple command. And they faced persecutions and heartaches and trials that we won't even come close to. Who knows the way the world's going, but I mean, this is the mission. This is Jesus' heartbeat. And he focused on 12 men, not millions. He wasn't trying to be a celebrity. He was trying to change a world, and it was through discipleship. So that's the mission. Flip over to Mark 16, verse 15. And can I get a reader when we get there? Emily. Mark 16, verse 15.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
So go ye into all the world, wherever. And that's what's cool about my discipleship relationship with Jay. They can pop up anywhere. Your ability to minister to somebody can pop up anywhere. The question is, when you go out into the world, are you looking for these opportunities? The Bible says, go out into the world and preach the gospel. A lot of times, and I can fall victim to this, I wait for those predetermined moments. Those, okay, we're going to go out and witness on Saturday at the mall. Okay, that's when I'll give the gospel. Or we're going to be at church and there might be guests. Okay, that's when I'll try and reach out to somebody. Or we're going to go door-to-door canvassing. Okay, I better be ready to give the gospel. I better be ready to give the gospel every stinking time I leave my house. But unfortunately, a lot of times that's not within my heart. I leave my house and I'm thinking about work. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about finances. I'm thinking about all these other things. The Bible says, go ye into all the world. John chapter 17. All right, so this goes back to the verse 4 that I was talking about where Christ is talking to God. We can see that in verse 1. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So he's talking to God the Father. Now jump down to verse 13. It says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Discipleship through the word. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Bible, discipleship. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And this is key. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the word may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Those are some beautiful words when you read those. Complete and utter unity. Christ, over and over, as I am one with you, God, I want them to be one with us. It almost reads like a love letter. I desire for them to be as close to us as possible. And the key here is one. Bring us together as one. And it's not this unity in the world of this coexist garbage. It's there's one gospel, there's one message, there's one book. That's why discipleship is so critical, because there's so many whacked out doctrines out there, and it's so easy to get carried away with the wind of doctrine. And if you're not grounded in this book, you might not even have an evil heart. A lot of times you don't, but it's easy to be swayed. Yeah, that makes sense. and you're none the wiser. The stakes are so high for your soul. And even if you're saved, the stakes are high for the souls that you could affect if you weren't carried away. Christ's heartbeat is that we'd be all joined together, one mind, one accord. How undeserving are we of that? Christ came down, sanctified himself, went through everything that we could go through and then some, died up on a cross, a humiliating death. And he's like, God, I want them to be joined to us. I want them to be one with us. That should bring me to my knees every single day. But it doesn't, unfortunately, because this heart, unfortunately, isn't in me all the time. I need reminded of these things. My flesh is very strong, and it takes away from the heart of discipleship. But that's Christ's heart, that we would be one. And we are only one with one consistent message through discipleship. There's safety in that. When you let the Bible, when you keep the main thing, when you're focused on what God's word says. Flip over to Luke chapter 14. So we got to remember the mission. We got to remember the heartbeat of Christ every single day. For me, I got to set reminders on my phone because I'm a stupid sinner and I can't just remember these things on my own. What's up, Devin?
Hey.
Got to call you out because you're half an hour late, but it's all right. I'm glad you're here. But I need reminded of these things. I mean, who's with me? Who remembers their message to God every single day? Or their message, their mission to God every single day? No, we slip, we fall, we forget. We get distracted. Satan's very good at what he does. Remember the mission and then count the cost. So we're in Luke chapter 14. I love these passages. You know what I mean. Verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Man, what a psycho. You got to go home and tell everybody you hate him. Is that really what Christ is saying here? No, it's a priority thing with God. Who takes precedence in your heart? For those of you guys that were at winter camp this year, I think you guys know the answer to the struggle with me. It's my family. It's very hard sometimes for me to take my family off that throne and put God on that throne. Very difficult. And I'm not saying that like, you know, an arrogant, I'm a great family man. My family's loved, I can be a jerk. But my point is, that's my struggle. What is it for you? You got to forsake all. You cannot be Christ's disciple if he is not the main thing in your life. If he is not the number one thing on your heart. You can't be an effective disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Are you willing to take the weight of the burden of owning what Christ has given you? It's like what he said back in John. The world is going to hate you if you adopt this. The world is going to want to destroy you because it goes completely against the way of this world. Can you bear that cross? Are you willing to bear that cross? Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? It's very easy for us to say, yeah, I want to be on God's team. I want to do this discipleship thing. I want to start discipleship. Then we start it for a week. We start doing these things for 2, 3, 4 weeks. And then all of a sudden it starts becoming hard. The tower is being harder and harder to build. And then you get to verse 29. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, you met for a couple weeks, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You become a complete mockery for God when you start this work without counting the cost. And it seems kind of counterintuitive. You know, faith, jump into it and just believe what God said. Yeah, absolutely, but understand what you're signing up for. Don't jump in and be ignorant to the things that God expects out of you. In verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And that's really the key, verse 33. That's the context. People like taking verse 26 out of context and seeing, yeah, see, Jesus Christ, you can't take the Bible literally. No, verse 33 is where it all comes home. If you're not willing to forsake everything for Jesus Christ, you cannot be his disciple. And I'll tell you, it comes out in discipleship, and I've seen it. It might take a couple weeks. It might take a couple months, but it will come out because your flesh is going to overcome you. It's not going to be worth it to you if you're not willing to put God first on your throne. So it's very important that you count the cost before you commit to these things, before you jump headfirst into them. And then stay in remembrance. Jump over to chapter 18 of Luke. Verse 28. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man who that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." So do you see the connection here with the end of Luke 14 and then verse 30 in Luke 18? That's what we have to look forward to. You forsake all those things, and it doesn't mean that I go home and I say, "Family, you're on your own, I'm following Jesus Christ." No, when I follow Jesus Christ and I read the Bible, I'm like, oh yeah, I have responsibilities as a husband, as a father, as a servant. It's just putting all those things in their proper place, in proper order. And the reward, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. So you're going to be blessed right now, don't deserve it. And in the world to come, life everlasting, still don't deserve it. That is what we need to keep in remembrance. Understanding what God has waiting for us too. I was sharing this in Bible Club. We were going over being thankful, how that's not a popular thing to do nowadays. You don't really walk around, people really don't have smiles anymore, let alone are they thankful. And my argument was, you know, if you know Jesus Christ, there's really never a moment of your life that you shouldn't be thankful. And the example I used is, you know, my entire life could be wrecked. And I was talking about Job and everything that happened to him. You know, naked came I into this world, naked shall I return thither. We brought nothing into this world. We're not going to bring anything out. And I said, my entire life could be wrecked. But how small is this life compared to all of eternity? Man, if I could keep that perspective every day. And I know you guys are struggling with it. And I know all the leaders, because I know all the leaders are struggling with it. It's not easy to think like that. We're looking at selling our house this year. You know how hard it is for me not to be consumed with that? Mm-hmm. Brandy asked me today, "Well, I feel like you're not excited." And I'm like, I am. I'm just trying to be the emotional barometer so that I don't let it consume my mind. It's difficult, though. Even something like that, that's not evil. It can become evil just like that because it can consume my mind. And then I can waste an entire year focusing on that when God had lost souls that are going to be going to hell that I just bypassed because I was so focused on X, Y, and Z. Man, if I could keep eternity on my mind. And that's the heartbeat of discipleship. I couldn't disciple if it wasn't for the things that are written in this book, if it wasn't for the power in this book, if it wasn't for the things that I constantly have to keep in remembrance, I would give up. Let's say it's a waste of time. I'm not doing it. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm just going to keep on going. It's very important that we keep these things in remembrance to be an effective minister, to be an effective disciple, and then ultimately to be an effective discipler. And then point number two. So that's remembering the mission, counting the cost, and staying in remembrance of those things. Very key and a huge part of the personal preparation within your heart. And then lastly, point number two, prioritize the work of the Lord. It's got to be the number one priority. Flip over to Luke 19. Not 19, 9. Sorry. Just flip back a couple. Sweet mother, I gotta hurry up. Verse 57. And it came to pass, everybody there, Luke 9, I'm at the right place. Yeah, 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, are you willing to follow somebody who expects the same out of you? We get so consumed with our houses, ironically, just bringing that up. Christ forsook everything for the will of God. You think about that. Christ, his mission, his 3.5-year mission, he didn't have a house. He was on the move constantly. Puts things in perspective for you. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When you read verse 62, who do you think of? Lot's wife. What does she want to do? You can't. You start God's work, you just keep on pressing forward. When you look back, you know what it does? It gives you second thoughts. It gives your flesh time to think about what's going on and saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it gives Satan a foothold. You give him that little space, he sticks his foot in and he starts creating doubt. Never look back once you start this work. Keep this work the number one. Prioritize it as the number one and everything will follow in line. Everything that matters follows in line. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Put your hands on the plow and go forward. I think of, you can write this down, it's on your sheet, 1 Kings 6, 38 and 7, 1. So Solomon was responsible for building what? The temple. But he's also responsible for building who else's house? His own. And do you guys know how long it took for God's house to be built? Anybody know the number of completion? 7 years. 7 years, it's got to be a pretty nice temple, right? How long did it take Solomon to build his house? 13 years. Good old number of rebellion. He spent almost double the time working on his trim and his siding and his chimney and all these things that he wanted. I don't know what he had, but it was 6 years nicer than the Lord's. And some people can read that and say, well, you know, Solomon just wanted to get God's house done first because that's the first thing he wanted to get done. That was his priority. I don't think so when you keep reading 1 Kings. Solomon was starting to become all about himself, and he wanted a nice house. He put his time and his effort into his house. Yeah, he put 7 years into God's, and that looks, you know, that's a modest amount of time. But he put 13 years into his own house. Was God's work the number one priority in his life at that point? Probably not. In the 1 Kings 11, we see the result of that. We see the nation of Israel split. Same thing can happen in our lives. He was still doing God's work, but it wasn't the number one priority. We can still be doing God's work, but if it's not the number one priority, there's going to come a point where it just falls apart. We can do good things in the flesh. Yeah, why not? Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We won't read all these. So it's just the salutations at the end of 2 Timothy, again, Paul's last book, and it's really convicting but also comforting, one of his final verses here. So he goes through and starts talking about specific people, some people that hurt him, people he likes to keep in remembrance, and then verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. We'll talk about loneliness, there it is. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Can you imagine? Paul's left alone, and you know what he says? God, don't lay that to their charge. Makes me think of Christ. They don't know what they're doing. God, forgive them. Try and have that heart. Then verse 17, why was he able to say that? Why was he able to feel that way? Because I would have a hard time feeling that. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He wasn't alone because Christ was right there with him, because the Lord was right there with him. And his motivation was the lost souls. It was not his fellowship with people. It was not his popularity or his relationships. His relationship, his cup was full with Christ. Christ was enough for him. Even when all men forsook him, verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Can you make that statement? It requires a heart of discipleship. It's impossible to feel that way in our flesh. When we're in our flesh, we feel selfish. And we want people around us. FOMO. Anybody knows what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. That cursed me when I was in high school. I hated missing out. God protect me from a lot of garbage that I was able to miss out on, and I thank him for it. But I hated missing out. I hated knowing that people were doing things and I wasn't included with it. And the truth of it was, God wasn't enough for me. I didn't have a discipleship's heart, a discipler's heart. I was thinking about me and how it made me feel. And God's work was not the number one priority in my life. We're not going to turn there. 1 Corinthians 16:15. It talks about Stephanus' house of Achaia. And it says that they addicted themselves to the ministry. When you think of addiction, what do you think of? Yeah, you can't stop. It's a drug. Okay, you need that drug to keep going. When I read that, I'm like, do I need God's word every single day to keep going? If you can go days, weeks, months without God's word, and it's not affecting you too much, something's wrong. Because people that are highly addicted to drugs, if they go days, weeks, months, they start going insane. I mean, that's the comparison there. If you start going days, weeks without God's word, it should turn your life upside down. It should start driving you nuts. Are you addicted to God's word? Is it the first thing that you need when you go to bed or when you wake up in the morning and the last thing you need before you go to bed? Is it always on your mind constantly? Is it your number one priority? Now flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and we'll close. Second Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 9. Yeah. So again, Paul writing here. Says, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Heart of discipleship. Verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. And here's the key. So that heart of discipleship, why is this so important? Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. A lot of times I feel like we're ignorant of Satan's devices. We play stupid when we find ourselves in a hole and we're the ones holding the shovel. It goes back to what I said earlier, being grounded in this book, it protects you from every wind of doctrine. It protects you from Satan's devices, the wiles of the devil, from pulling you off. Discipleship is so safe as a Christian. But it all goes back to, and that's why this personal preparation, remembering the mission, counting the cost, and staying in remembrance. Is this something that you want personally in your life? Is this a heart that you want to live day in and day out? Because then it begins with prioritizing the work of the Lord. If you're like, yes, I'm in. I've counted the cost. I know what you did for me. I know what's waiting. Okay, then make it the first priority in your life. Then you'll be an effective disciple. You'll be an effective discipler and ultimately an effective minister to this entire world. And these things, they're not easy. They're not things that come naturally, or else Christ wouldn't have came down and had to show us how to do it himself. Would have been something he'd have just wrote in a book and said, go do. Christ came down, sanctified himself, and showed us how to do the proper method of discipleship. So before we finish out, there's two questions on the bottom. It says, what are the things that distract you from remembering your mission, prioritizing your walk with God, and making disciples of Jesus Christ? So I hope through this lesson you were thinking of those things. You're like, yeah, that's me. Or this is something that Satan's been keeping me distracted so that I don't walk out of my house every single day thinking about what I need to do when I go out into the world. And then the last one, what specific and practical steps will you take to prepare yourself to be a faithful discipler this week? So what we're going to do, we're going to break up. We got, I think, four guy leaders and four girl leaders. Break up into groups of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, Yeah, so probably three to a liter. I'd say, I think that's good. So 3 to a liter, sit down, discuss through these questions. We'll probably do that for about 10, 15 minutes, and then I'll get back up here, and then hopefully we'll have a couple share. Just some things that, you know, Satan, your flesh, whatever, uses to keep you off of this path of discipleship, and then what are some things that you're going to do to prioritize this work for the next week as we progress through this study. So go ahead, find your favorite leader or find your favorite person and meet. So.